Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 FY24 earnings conference call of Associated Alcohol and Breweries Limited, hosted by Go India Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Priya Singh from Go India Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, Ms. Priya.
Thank you, Muskan. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Associated Alcohol and Breweries Limited earnings conference call to discuss the Q4 and FY24 results. We have on the call Mr. Anshuman Kedia, Whole-time Director, Mr. Tushar Bhandari, Whole-time Director, and Mr. Ankit Agarwal, Chief Financial Officer. We must remind you that the discussion on today's call may include certain forward-looking statements and must be therefore viewed in conjunction with the risks that the company faces. May I now request Mr. Anshuman Kedia to take us through the company's business outlook and performance, subsequent to which we will open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Priya. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us today for our Q4 and FY24 earnings conference call. In this call, I am accompanied by Mr. Tushar Bhandari, Whole-time Director, and Mr. Ankit Agarwal, CFO of the company. I will take you through the broad view and then will hand it over to Mr. Tushar Bhandari for more details about the business and Mr. Ankit Agarwal for the financial highlights. At the outset of the call, I would like to inform you that the Board of Directors have recommended a dividend of 20%, that is rupees 2 per share. For FY24, an increase of 100% in comparison to FY23. This dividend is subject to the approval of the shareholders in the ensuing AGM. I hope you've had the chance to view our financial results and earnings presentation, both of which are readily available on the exchange. As we reflect on the past fiscal year, it's evident that the landscape of the alcohol beverage industry has undergone significant shifts, influenced by our dynamic consumer preferences and emerging market trends. In the face of these changes, our company has remained resilient and adaptive. We've embarked on a strategic journey focused on the premiumization of our product portfolio and geographic expansion. With an eye towards sustainable growth and market leadership, it's worth noting that these efforts have already begun to yield promising results. Setting and beyond. One noteworthy development has been the expansion of our product portfolio to include ethanol as a segment. This strategic extension not only broadens our revenue streams but also enhances our margin potential. Moreover, our commitment to geographical expansion has enabled us to tap into new markets, diversify our consumer base, and fortify our position as a formidable contender in the industry. Amidst this expansion, we've remained steadfast in our dedication to delivering quality products at competitive prices. Our recent introductions of two exclusive IMFL proprietary brands, Central Province Rum and Nicobar Handcrafted Gin, underscore our commitment to catering to diverse customer preferences and capturing opportunities in the premium and super premium segments. Furthermore, our emphasis on innovation continues to drive our success as we continually refine our product offerings to meet evolving consumer demands. This dedication to excellence, coupled with our operational efficiencies, has solidified our standing as the preferred choice of grain-based ENA supplier. As we navigate through complexities of the market, we are confident in our ability to sustain momentum and drive value for our shareholders. Now, I would like to request Mr. Tushar Bhandari to take us through the strategic updates.
Thank you, Anshuman. As you are likely aware, our primary focus continued to be advancing premiumization within the alcohol and beverage industry. Operational efficiency stands at a cornerstone of our strategy, complemented by our commitment to develop value-added products. We have already established a formidable market presence in a key region such as Madhya Pradesh, Kerala and Delhi, and we are steadfast in our determination to expand into new territories. To facilitate this expansion, we recently established a subsidiary in Uttar Pradesh. While plans are underway for the step-up of bottling plant and distillery, our current priority lies in laying the groundwork for these developments and evidenced by our successful operations thus far. Our fish is now operational, with ethanol sales meeting our initial expectations. As we warm up capacity utilization, we anticipate further enhancement in margin. Despite facing challenges such as fluctuating raw material prices, we have remained vigilant and are focused on operational efficiency and cost control. While certain key raw materials have experienced upward trends and stabilized at higher levels, we have implemented necessary price adjustments wherever feasible to mitigate the impact of increased cost. Across all the business segments, our performance reflects substantial growth. Looking ahead, we anticipate sustained double-digit revenue growth, particularly within our premium product segment. We also foresee continued expansion in our B2C segment with robust year-on-year growth projections for both IMFL category 15-18% and the licensed IMFL segment 12-15%. Our premium product line is poised for impressive year-on-year growth rate of around 18-20%, reflecting sustained consumer interest and demand. In the B2B segment, we have expected steady progress in line with inflation rate. Furthermore, we remain dedicated to strengthen partnership with key industry players such as Diageo. We aim to navigate market dynamics effectively and sustainable through strategic alliance and proactive risk management strategies. Now I'll hand over to Mr. Ankit Agarwal to discuss the financial and operational highlights.
Thank you, Tushar ji. Good afternoon, everyone. Allow me to provide a concise view over the financial performance for the quarter and March 2024. I'll take you through the financial performance of Q4 first, and then we'll move to FY24 financials, and then we can open the floor for question and answer. In Q4 FY24, our net revenue from operations saw an increase of 31%, reaching to 242 crores compared to 184 crores in the previous year, recording the highest sale in a quarter in the history of the company. Our EBITDA stood at 18.5 crores with an EBITDA margin of 8%, which is in line with the FY23 despite a significant increase in grain prices. The EBITDA margin has fallen in comparison to Q3 24 due to some one-off cost on the material front, which is not expected in future. Profit after tax for the quarter amounted to 12.3 crores, reflecting a commendable 25% increase year-on-year with the PAT margin of 5%. Segment-wide performance for the quarter exhibit growth across the board. IMFL proprietary brand sales stood at 27.6 crores, with IMFL licensed brand revenue grew at 10% year-on-year, totaling to 62.9 crores. IMIL revenue for Q4 reached to 49.1 crores. Merchant ENA revenue experienced a surge growing by 28% year-on-year, amounting to 22 crores. Ethanol revenue for the quarter stood at 43.1 crores. Moving on to FY24 performance, our net revenue from operations stood at 760 crores against 700 crores, showing a stable growth of 8% YOY. EBITDA reached at 76.7 crores, an increase of 23% YOY with a 10% margin. Profit after tax for the period amounted to 50.6 crores, indicating 22% year-on-year growth with a PAT margin of 7%. On the operational part, IMFL proprietary sales for FY24 stood at 15.65 lakh cases, amounting to 109.9 crores. IMFL license segment brand sales reached to 18.19 lakh cases, amounting to 218 crores. Merchant ENA sales volume experienced a surge of 26% year-on-year, totaling to 24 million liters. That concludes my update on the financial performance. Now we can open the floor for question and answer.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking the question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for the moment while the question queue assembles. First question is from the line of Ishan Thakur from Fort Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So as you mentioned earlier in the commentary that there was some one of cost related material cost impacted. So what was that?
So there was a slight increase in the grain price. So the raw material price had increased and we tried to mitigate by making an efficient procurement system. And at certain places wherever we could take the price hike, we've tried to mitigate the price hike of the raw material with that.
Okay. So what is our average grain price for Q4 FY24?
Sorry, average grain price of Q4. Sorry, I didn't get you.
Average grain price.
Average grain price, so see, we have used majorly maize in FY24, so it will be around 22,000.
Okay. And sir, for the merchant ENA, we have been mentioning that the margin has been somewhere around 8 to 9%. But for Q4 FY24, it was only around 4%. So please give some comments on that.
So that's the reason. So there is a one-off item in the material side which we discuss about, and the reason for that because material side in the raw material front we have a one-off hit which we have to take which we are not expecting in future. That is the reason the ENA margin has gone down this quarter.
And we're also IMF provided grant. We have seen a decrease in volume by 6%. So
IMF proprietary grant, we've not seen a decrease in the volume. So the volume in IBFL proprietary brand is almost the same as compared to last year because the industry has not grown substantially, that's why. And plus apart from that, now the growth will come in the coming years as we expand the number of states.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask questions. I repeat, you may press star and one to ask question. The next question is from the line of Majid Ahmed from Smart Sense Investment. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Am I audible, sir?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yes,
ma'am. Yes, sir. So the first, my first question is, sir, could you please provide a current utilization rate of the ethanol plant? Also, what revenue contribution do we expect from the ethanol segment in FY25? And third part of my question, and additionally, have any tenders has been submitted sometime to ONG or tied to FY24?
Mr. Majid, your voice is cracking. I could just get the first question is what is the utilization of ethanol plant? And the post that, whatever you ask, we could not hear you clearly. Can you please repeat your question?
Yes. Am I audible now, sir? Am I clear right now, sir?
Yes.
Okay, sir. So the second part in that question is, what revenue contribution do we expect from the ethanol segment in FY25? And additionally, have we any additional tenders been submitted for something to OMC or private players in FY25?
So, Mr. Majid, I'll just answer your question one by one. So at present, as the ethanol plant has just started, so ethanol plant is on the trial mode and we have achieved almost 40% capacity utilization. We have orders in hand of the full capacity, so that is not an issue for us. We have tied up with all the OMCs for whatever we produce of selling those.
What is the revenue contribution?
So revenue contribution would be somewhere around 25%.
Okay, sir. Then my second question, sir, is can you provide an approximate breakdown of the contribution in percentage terms to the input cost? Specifically, I'm interested in knowing how much of the input cost is attributed to grains versus another raw materials.
I cannot hear your question, please. The voice is breaking.
I guess you should use rather than loudspeaker if possible.
Yes, sir. So, sir, my question is, can you provide an approximate breakdown of the contribution in percentage terms? Specifically because I'm interested in knowing how much of the input cost is attributed to grains, bottles, and other raw materials.
So see, grain contributes major portion of our input cost because, and apart from the grain, there is other packaging material which is glass, bottle, cap and all. So grain price, which is ENA, almost contributes to almost 30 to 40% of the production cost.
What about other things? Bottles and other raw materials, if we can. For others, the bottles and other raw materials can give any percentage.
You are talking about ENA, you are talking about the finished goods. So ENA is completely grain. Grain constitutes of almost 80 to 85%. And when it comes to other IMFL products, so it contributes to almost around 50% of the cost.
Okay, sir. So my last question, sir, is regarding the recently announced the wholly owned subsidiary in Uttar Pradesh, what segment is the company planning to expand into and what is the competitive landscape there?
So basically, we've seen a huge opportunity in the market of Uttar Pradesh. And our sales is also being growing in Delhi. So looking into that opportunity, we are planning to set up a distillery and a bottlery in the state of Uttar Pradesh. So for that, we are in process of acquiring land and we've already received an LOI. So we are in process of setting up a plant there to cater to the northern markets.
Okay. Thank you for all your inputs.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Imran from Longbow India Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good afternoon, gentlemen. I have a couple of questions on the raw material side. Number one is you know, what kind of mix have you seen in the last quarter? You know, in terms of a mix of, let's say, broken rice and the other raw materials?
So basically, the rice price has gone up substantially. So in last few quarters, we have switched to completely 100% corn. The advantage to us is that we have used a multi-feed grain-based plant. So depending on the cost economics, we can switch our raw material. So what had happened in the first quarter initially last year is that we were using 20%, around 20%, 30% rice. But due to a lot of ethanol plant coming in the industry, the government had procured the rice and were giving it to ethanol plant. So the rice shortage was there and the price shot up substantially. So post that, we have completely moved to maize. And depending on the price, if the rice comes down, we can switch back to rice.
Right. So 100%, close to 100% maize. Perfect.
Yeah, rice is 100% maize.
Yeah. And, you know, last quarter, I think I have asked this question on the yields that you get from maize. You said 400, you know, liters per ton. And this quarter, I think you made ethanol. So what kind of actual yields that you witnessed in the last quarter?
So mix you are talking about, the ethanol and the ENA, both mix yield you are talking about? Because we normally track it on a separate basis.
See, if you can provide on a separate basis, it could be super helpful. But if you can, you know, if you think it's competitive, then maybe you can just give a blended number.
Yeah, so it's a competitive number because we invest a lot on efficiencies. So we are the most efficient plant in the market. So as per that, but it's somewhere around 400, sir.
And even on a mixed basis, it's 400, you said, right?
Not on mixed basis. Yield will come in ethanol lesser because there is more percentage of alcohol in ethanol. ENA is 97% alcohol and ethanol is 99% alcohol.
That's right. Right. Okay. Thank you. I'll fall back in the queue. Thanks.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask question. The next question is from the line of Vinay Rokadia, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, good afternoon, sir. I had just a couple of questions. In the last call, we have mentioned that we'll be planning to enter new states like Maharashtra, Goa, Pondicherry, and Karnataka. So can you just brief at what stage are we regarding the approvals and the plan about it?
Yes. Yes, so in last quarter, as we had told you that we'll be entering few new states, so the policy came in, the new policy came in most of the states in the month of March, and we've applied for documentation in Goa, Karnataka, Maharashtra, UP and Pondicherry. But as you know that in few states, elections are still going on. So post the election, most of the excise formalities would get completed. And we believe by second quarter onwards, we will be present in these states.
Okay. And just another question regarding the new product launch. So yes. Can you just throw some light on that also? What do we plan regarding that?
So in past two quarters, okay, we've launched two products. We've launched Central Province Premium Rum. So which is done fairly well and has got well accepted in the market. So that was the product. And then the company also tried to introduce a super premium product, which is a handcrafted gin. So it's on a super premium side. For the first time, the company has launched a product in a super premium side with a price point of around 2,500 to 2,700 rupees a bottle. And it has been very well accepted in the market. The blend has been complimented by most of the people. It has also won the award, a few awards of the best blend and best packaging. So we are looking forward one of the leader in our portfolio. So, but that sale will come substantial increase when we enter into the major cities like Bangalore, Delhi, and Maharashtra.
Okay, thank you, sir. I will join back in the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rishikesh Shah from Alchemy Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Congratulations on great set of numbers. First question I had was on the ethanol segment side. The plant became operational in Q4. So for how much period was the plant operational?
Plant got operational in the middle of the Jan, so it was almost 2.5 months it was operating.
So on a full year basis, for example, for FY25, what kind of revenue are you looking from the ethanol segment?
Around 300 crores.
Around 300 crores. Okay. Sir, and on premiumization, the Nicobar gin you were talking about in super premium, what kind of traction are we looking at?
Basically, we are till now, wherever we've launched, we've got a super a very positive response on the blend and the packaging front. We are targeting to enter the metro cities, which is Delhi, Bangalore, Mumbai, and other cities, where the sale of a super premium product is much higher. And we are targeting to enter restaurants and bars. So we are very hopeful about this brand, and we are looking forward to the attractive sales numbers in coming months.
Right. So have we launched or are we planning to launch it?
And so we have already launched in Madhya Pradesh and Chhattisgarh right now. Okay. The process of excise formalities is pending in most of the states. So as I said, that will be done in the first quarter. Due to election code of conduct, most of the states, the files have not been approved. So post the election is done across, so we will get an approval, and by June onwards, we expect it to be present in most of the states.
Right. And sir, how do we look at our EBITDA margin improving going forward?
EBITDA, there should be an EBITDA improvement because this year we have received the price hike in our most of the products. Plus, with the ethanol coming on with the full capacity, we expect a better utilization of our fixed costs. So that will also give us an increase in the EBITDA margin in the next year.
Plus, apart from that, our premium products launch would also add to the EBITDA margin. And we have got another two products lined up. One product we'll be launching in next quarter and second quarter, and the other product we'll launch in the third quarter.
Will that product also be super premium, or how will that be?
Yes, on the premium category side.
Okay. Sir, can you give a breakup of your EBITDA margin if possible?
So it's there in the investor presentation. If you see, so we have given the product-wise EBITDA margin in that. So you get the comparison over there.
Yeah. Sir, one last question. For the UP plant, which we are going to set up, the bottling plant and distillery plant, will that be for captive use only, or we'll be selling ENA from there too?
So the objective is to use the maximum of the plant for captive use. That has been the company's focus for last 5 years, and we've been able to achieve that for quite a while now. But whatever the additional capacity would be there, we would be selling also, because we are known in the country for the quality ENA, and that should not be an issue for us.
Right. And this plant will be in the subsidiary or
this? These are all value-added products.
Right. Understood. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask question. The next question is from the line of Alisha Mahawala from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good evening. Thank you for the opportunity. So while you did touch upon that there was RM inflation, the gross margins are at a multi-quarter low. Has the price of maize gone up that significantly versus previous quarter? If you could quantify that for us, it would be helpful.
Your voice is not clear. We didn't able to understand your question properly. If you can just repeat it a little slower, that will help.
So am I audible now?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. The gross margins that we have reported in this quarter are at a multi-quarter low. While you did mention earlier in the call that it was because of inflation in raw materials, but has the maize price gone up that significantly in one quarter to have this kind of an impact? If you can just quantify how much has it gone up by, it will be helpful.
So, like I to speak about in our initial conversation as well, so there's some specific one-time item which we have taken in this quarter, which was not there in the previous quarter. It's not purely because of increase in the maize price. Maize price have increased. So last quarter, which was around 23,000, it has become 25,000 in the Q4. But there are also an exceptional item which is there in the gross margin, which because of which the gross margin is lower.
The decline on Q1Q basis is almost 10%. Versus that, the what we're saying for maize is just 2-3%. So if you can just share some color on what are these one-time incremental hit that we have taken on the gross margin side.
So that will be, I'll not be able to give you the specific details, but what I can tell you is these exceptional is a one-time nature which we have to take in the Q3 because of some issues, which will not be coming in the future.
Okay. Okay. And we have seen a very sharp volume decline in IMIL. If you could just explain the reason for that.
So there's a sharp volume decline in IML because, as you're aware, that the IML is 100% controlled by the government. Government comes out with the tender of all the districts which are available in Madhya Pradesh, and you have to bid for the districts, and the lowest bidder gets that particular supply in that district. So the government capping requirement had reduced. So a maximum area allotted to an individual from last year, from year before, or from FY23 had reduced in FY24. So that is the reason. But whatever the max limit was there, we have been able to get that maximum allotment limit from the government. But on the contrary, irrespective of the volumes being lower, we have been able to take a price hike, and irrespective of the volume decreasing substantially, the company's top line has grown. So that is shown in the efficiency and the efforts put by the company to grow the top line.
Also, so for FY25 or going forward, is this the maximum volume one can assume for IMIL?
See, we cannot,
for the current year, because the policy would have been out.
Volume would be similar, because the government has not changed that maximum cap which can be allotted to an individual in FY25 also. The tender has already gone through. So volume would be similar as per the increase in the market. Whatever the increase in the market would be there, we will be able to achieve that. Whatever 3, 4, 5% would be there, we will be able to achieve that, only the volume increase.
Understood. So next question is on the IMFL volumes. We have seen a very healthy growth of 27% CAGR, and we've mentioned as aspiration also that we expect this business to witness a 12 to 15% growth. In IMFL, because these are IMFL licensed products, what states do we supply to, and has there been any increase in the states that we've been supplying to in the last 3 years, and any additions expected in the next 1 or 2 years?
So see, at present we are supplying to almost 5 states, which are MP, CG, Delhi, Kerala and West Bengal. We have seen a steady growth in these states. And in the coming year, we are planning to enter Goa, Karnataka, Maharashtra and Pondicherry. And now see, the thing is in IMFN, you would see a greater increase as we enter the number of, increase in the number of states. So the volumes would get from there. And plus, apart from that, we are now entering into the premium brand category also. Like as I said that we've launched a premium handcrafted gin, which is priced at around 2,500 to 2,800 rupees a bottle. So that is the super premium category. So that will also contribute to our margin and top line also.
Sorry, just to clarify, I was referring to IMFL licensed.
IMFL licensed, we are available in only Madhya Pradesh right now. And in other states, we have plans to grow with our own brands. And we don't have any plans to get licensed brands at present. And because we want to keep our focus clear on our own brands and aggressively grow those. Plus, apart from that, IMFL licensed brand in Madhya Pradesh, just to give you a snapshot. So IMFL licensed brand Madhya Pradesh we took approximately around 6 years back. And when we took the entire portfolio, the sale of those brands was around about 6 lakh cases per annum. And last year we closed at around 1.8 million cases.
And there is scope for this to continue to grow in double digits for the next 3 to 5 years.
Not exactly. There is a scope of improvement on the lower double digit side.
Understood. And so last question is with respect to the ethanol plant that we have recently commissioned. What are the kind of realizations that we're expecting on this for the quantity that we've tied up?
The realization is around about 72 rupees a liter.
And we should be able to do 8 to 9% EBITDA margins?
Yes.
And we're expecting full utilization, because you said that the volume is tied up with the OMCs in the current financial year in FY25.
We've already been allotted a tender for the full financial year.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask question. The next question is from the line of Gunit Singh from Counter Cycle. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, you mentioned that in Q4 there was a one-off which led to deterioration of margins. Just to point out, we used to do about 15-16% margins through FY17 till FY22. So in that sense, I know that new ethanol plant has lower margins of about 8-9% as compared to what we did previously. So, I mean, in light of all this, what kind of margins, base rate margins are we looking at for FY25?
FY25, we are looking for a double-digit margin in FY25.
Are we saying like low double-digit or near like 15-16% range that we used to do?
So we are looking for somewhere mid-double-digit, not higher or not lower. It should be somewhere in between.
All right, sir. And we would be adding about 300 crores from the new ethanol plant in FY25, right?
Correct.
So, apart from ethanol, what kind of growth are we looking at for FY25 in terms of other segments overall on a consolidated level?
Yeah, so we are looking at a double-digit growth, somewhere around 15-16% growth we are looking at.
All right, sir. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all participants, you may press star and want to ask question. The next question is from the line of Dhruv Shah from Ambika Finance. Please go ahead.
Hi, Dean. Thanks for the opportunity. Tushar ji, my question is pertaining to IMFL proprietary, because last 3-4 quarters we have been emphasizing on IMFL. But if we see, there's been no volume growth this year, neither on the revenue side, neither on the volume cases. So when we say that we want to grow at 15-20%, can you just give us a breakup on the volume part and the realization? How much are we expecting?
So basically, see, the thing is that this year onwards, we will see a decent volume growth, because as we have added the number of brands also, that will give us a growth, and we are seeing a good traction in the states where we are already present right now, and the new states where we are entering. So there also we will see an increased volume. So that will also add to an overall increased volume. And the average realization of IMFL proprietary brands right now stands at around somewhere around 780 rupees. So that we are expecting it to go up to around about, say, 900 or 850 rupees this year onwards. And in the coming year, because now we've got products lined up, as I already mentioned that we have got gin, which is about to get launched in the month of June in most of the major states and seen a good traction. In Q2, we've got a blended malt which has been lined up to be launched in a premium category. And in Q3, we are planning to launch a RTD, ready to drink, so which is a volume business. So we have strategized our entire year, and you will see definitely effect coming in this year, starting from the first quarter itself.
Tushar ji, one follow-up. You mentioned that you want to take the realization up from 780 to 950. So that's 15% growth. So your guidance is basically on realization. So are you expecting that volume growth will be stagnant or low single digit?
I had mentioned that my revenue would grow by 15%. So that is apart from the ethanol total overall revenue. I'm expecting it to grow.
No, sir. I'm only questioning on the IMFL proprietary. So our guidance is 15-20% on IMFL proprietary, and right now you said that my realization will grow up from 780 to 950. So that's a 15% growth. So are we expecting the volume growth in the IMFL proprietary to be flattish or low single digit?
We are expecting around about 15-20% growth in IMFL proprietary brands.
Yeah, so that's my question. Is on the what will be the volume guidance in that? That's my question.
So that's what I said. Volume guidance would be around somewhere around 15-20% growth from the existing volumes.
Okay. Got it, sir. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask question. The next question is from the line of Darvesh Jahawar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. My first question is regarding the launch of premium products in the upcoming quarters. What kind of margin profile are we looking at from this segment going forward? And secondly, given the company's planned CapEx of around 270 crores, how will it be financed, specifically the breakdown of internal accruals and debt financing?
Sorry, can you repeat your first question?
Yeah, it's regarding in the investor presentation, the company has mentioned that there is some launch of premium products in the upcoming quarters, and there is already a premium, super premium gin in that category. So what kind of margin profiles are we looking at from this segment going forward?
So basically, at present, the IMFL margin, EBITDA margin is around about, say, 10%. Okay, we are expecting it to grow to around mid-double-digit in our IMFL contribution. And second is, how we'll be able to finance the new expansion projects. So there are plans to finance the new expansion projects is through internal accruals, debt, and we've raised recently.
So we have done a preferential allotment, if you know, recently. So we will be using that proceeds for the setting up of the plant, plus internal accruals. And in case there's any need, then we go for debt. But we don't foresee any debt requirement as such, because we feel from the internal accrual, plus the fund raised through this preferential allotment will help us in setting up of this plant.
So there would be no debt financing in this CapEx announcement?
Debt financing might be there to a very lower extent, not a big debt, sort of something which we are looking the entire project will be funded for that. So debt will be there, but it will be a very minuscule debt, which company can easily manage. That will not be a huge debt.
Thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Imran from Longbow India Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, thanks. Sir, has there been any change in the animal feed prices in Q4 compared to Q3?
So as you say, as compared to Q4, Q3, there has not been a substantial change. But yes, definitely there has been a slight decrease over the years in the animal feed price because of multiple ethanol plants coming in the, yeah, because of multiple plants being set up.
Got it. Got it. And, can you please confirm the maize prices in Q4? Because somehow I heard two different numbers. So can you please confirm what was the maize price last quarter?
Last quarter, it was somewhere around 25,000.
25,000 rupees, huh?
Yes, yes.
Oh, which is... Okay, okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hrishikesh Shah from Alchemy Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for giving me a chance again. This was an accounting question. How do we account for our excise duty? Because, for example, for U.S. and United Spirits, 62% of their revenue is excise duty, and for us, it's negligible. So how do we account for our excise?
So see, if you look, our major supply is in MP, and in MP, the excise duty is borne by the retailers. So company is not required to pay the excise duty. So that's why there is no material excise duty in our books. Whatever excise duty is coming for the supply outside state of MP.
Okay. Then second question for ethanol capacity. It is tied up for what period? 100% of our capacity is tied up for what period?
So it is tied up till December. January, sorry.
December. Okay.
January 25. Their quarter is different, so it's tied up for January, and then again, they'll launch a tender. So right now there's a huge gap in demand and supply. The government requirement is to achieve 20% blend by 2025, and government has been able to achieve somewhere around 11%-12% only.
Right. So what do you think will be the estimated price in that tender?
I'm not too sure, because the government has been aggressive in giving the price hike. If the commodity price goes up substantially, then the government might also give us the price hike. Right now, it's at somewhere around 72 rupees.
Right.
So government has made a clear focus that by 2025, anyhow, they have to reach 20% blend. So it will completely depend on the grain price, primarily.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as that was the last question for the day, I would now like to hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
We trust that we have addressed all your inquiries satisfactorily. If you have any remaining unanswered questions, please do not hesitate to contact our investor relations agency, Go India Advisors. They will be more than happy to assist you further. Thank you everyone for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Go India Advisors, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may disconnect your lines. Thank you.